Board. How often did they catch you? Something like 3 times?
Yeah, exactly. 3 times. And I am very pissed off. I'm going to court over one of them in a few days, in about 4 days. Then I'm going to go to court over another one. 1 day after that. I'll probably lose both cases, but what the hell. You know, somebody advised me, a lawyer friend of mine, he said, never plead guilty, ever, ever.
Okay, that's one philosophy.
So a lawyer.
How many extra miles do you have to drive to make sure you don't use Peninsula?
Really not much. No more than about half a mile one way and back the other way. I take a different route, which is about 3/4 of a mile longer. It's not much.
Yeah, there's a really nasty red light camera on Wellwood app.
Repeater, time out.
As I was saying, there's a really nasty red light camera on Wellwood Avenue in Melville. And people are finding all kinds of ways of driving around that damn thing. It takes them a couple of blocks out of the way, but they make sure they don't go through it. Because a lot of people got caught with that one. It's got a very short yellow time.
And like all of them in New York, New York has a very short yellow. As soon as I hit Nassau County, it gets a little better. Most of my tickets, in fact, most of my tickets were in New York, one in Nassau County, and I've looked at the one in Nassau County. It's really fast, really fast.
That's what I was about to ask you. The one thing they give you is the amount of seconds of yellow time when they give you one of those crazy tickets. At 40 miles an hour, that one on Wellwood Avenue, I think it's 4.3 seconds of yellow. How many seconds of yellow have you seen officially recorded, Barry?
Not much. I don't know. I think a second and a little bit. I don't know. I got to get out there and time it, but it isn't very much. It's not enough. Just not enough. You can hear my GPS making noise in the background.
You made it sound like you said 1 second. I can't believe anybody's yellow is only 1 second. It's got to be at least 3 seconds, I think, Barry. Go ahead.
No. Definitely not. 3 seconds, I could go to sleep, have coffee, and come back. No. 1 second.
Okay. The lights that you've seen that are yellow for 1 second, what is the speed limit in that area?
30 miles an hour.
Okay. How close could you confirm that the 1 sec...
Repeater, time out.
How close could you confirm that the 1 second is really 1.0 and not 1.3? I mean, how accurately, by whatever means, their ticket or whatever, can you tell me real yellow time at 30 miles an hour? It's got to be very close to 3.5 seconds, or they're going to get you no matter what the hell you do.
I'm going to have to go back there with a stopwatch. It could be 1.5 seconds. It's definitely no more than 1.5 seconds. Definitely no more. But it feels like 1 second. It's about 1.5 seconds, I guess. It's certainly not any more than that. And I am going to go back there with a stopwatch and time it. I actually own a stopwatch.
If what you're saying is even close to true, they are definitely way beyond the rules as far as fairness is concerned. I think I told you that some very smart engineer in San Diego found a red light camera yellow time was not long enough, and very similar to that article I mailed you a copy of that Newsday refused to print. He proved his case, and for one whole year, San Diego had to return all the money to all those people they had given that certificate to. Over to you, Barry. It's time that somebody do that in New York City.
Yeah, well, I hear you. But I don't think it's going to happen. It could happen in Nassau County. It's possible. But in New York City, it will never happen.
Okay. What makes New York City that much holier than thou compared to San Diego?
I don't know. New York City does everything a little more. They don't care about the law. They don't care about whether it's right or wrong. In Nassau County, they have a lot of people who are lawyers and things, and I don't know, they just take it more seriously.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Don't worry, I heard you on the input. Okay, it's time that somebody file a lawsuit in New York City. If you can prove your case by the laws of physics, you're telling me that they are so headstrong that they would say, my mind is made up, you're guilty, I don't care if we're exceeding the laws of physics. Are you saying that they are arrogant enough to say words like that with technical language? K2LAW?
I don't know. I'm not a fighter. Might not get it from me. You might get it from somebody else, I'll tell you that. But I've noticed a few things about New York City. First of all, there are two lights that I pass as I'm leaving in the morning. And the second light is always, always red because of the timing from the first one. In other words, the first one, it changes color when you leave it. When you get to the next one, it's always red. And it's only a matter of about a three-quarters or half a block. And there is no way to beat it. It's going to be red. And it has to do with timing. In other words, a lot of these lights, when you leave one and head for the next, you probably know what to expect. I do this every morning, and I know which ones are going to be turning when I get to them.
If they've got them properly timed, they're supposed to let you through the next one. But however, properly timed, with only a block or so between them, it may be perfectly timed for it going east to west, but you go west to east, it's going to fight you.
Don't think that's the case here. It's not even a block, it's half a block, or maybe even less than that. You could see one light from the other as they change. You're coming off of a right turn. So I don't think it's going to, I don't think timing has much to do with
repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Even if it's not a straight run, if they really are timed together, it's got to favor one direction, east to west or west to east. It's got to favor one of those directions, as I see it, Barry.
Okay, well, I only go in one direction at this light. On the way home, I'm going a different way. So I haven't timed it in the other direction. I have not done that.
It would be real fun to go to that same light, but go through that half-block space in the other direction. It's got to be better.
I'd probably be completely unaware of it because I would probably get through it. I know what you're saying. I'm taking a different run this morning. There are much less lights, and I haven't had a problem. So I'm looking at the speed limit. It's 30 miles an hour, and the lights are pretty progressive here on this road. They're rather progressive. I don't seem to get nailed from light to light.
So they seem to be timed together and properly timed so that if you're going, let's say, 25 miles an hour, and you finally wait for one of them to turn green at that right speed, every one of them you'll be hitting green. Is that what you're saying, Barry?
I'm going 30, and the speed limit is 30, and I'm making every light, which is very nice.
Sure is. 1 second. That's your quick estimate. If you really carefully measure that, it can't be 1 second at 30 miles an hour. I think at 30 miles an hour, it's got to be very close to 3 seconds. Otherwise, it is definitely illegal. And if a precedent was set in San Diego, I think that precedent can be used in New York.
Repeater, timeout.
Well, my lawyer friend isn't feeling well. He would do something like that for me, but alas, he's not going to be doing much for anybody. He's a sick guy.
Did he suddenly develop a terminal disease, Barry?
Yes, he did. And I know him for probably 30, maybe 35 years. He's been a good friend. It's very unusual to have a lawyer who's a good friend, and he is.
Two questions. Number one, is he the only lawyer you know that you can use like that? And number two, is there a slim possibility that on his way out, he wants to fight one more really good case.
He ain't fighting any cases, but, I know him and I know his sister, who is also a lawyer. She would probably, if it was nothing frivolous, she would do it for me, but I don't want to use her for the same things I would use Tom for, because Tom, we would go out, we would have coffee, lunch, go do the thing in the court, you know. It was a different deal with Tom.
Yeah, but this situation we are now describing, Barry, is far from frivolous. Because it involves the calculation of acceleration and deceleration of an automobile. And that gives you some non-linear mathematics. It's really a differential equation. The mathematics scares the hell out of people, and that's the reason why this situation has existed for a couple of years in New York City, and no one has successfully fought it. We've got to be able to convince people of the real math. There's ways of making that traceable to the Bureau, if you know what I mean, Barry. K2LAW, wait for the beep.
Beep. Repeater, time out.
Yeah, I guess we're not going to get a beep yet. I think the beep starts at around 6 o'clock, have I got that right?
Sounds about right. But because the mathematics is complicated, that's how these guys that set up these cameras are getting away with it. It's time that somebody used their own mathematics against them, Barry.
Oh, God, I wish somebody would. I know. I'm not in a fighting mood. I'm really not. I guess a lot of people are not, because, man, they hand out tickets in New York. Wow.
Nassau County is collecting, I forget how many million dollars per year on red light cameras, Barry.
Yeah. What a business. Oh, my God, yeah. And there are new cameras in New York. They have something else now. And I don't even know what they do. They're like, they got these sensors on every corner for about a mile. Little black sensors on the pole. Somebody explain to me what they are, but I don't actually remember. I got to think about it, but every corner for a mile, they've got these cameras. They're not cameras. They're little black boxes with an antenna on them.
Could it be a gunshot detector?
And my GPS is making a lot of noise. You got to repeat that.
Could it possibly be a gunshot detector? If somebody fires a gun, and if three of these things hear the sound, but because sound only goes 1,000 feet per second, by the differential timing of the sound, you can locate exactly what house fired that gun. Could it be possibly a gunshot detector system?
I don't think so. I heard somebody say that. I don't know. It doesn't seem logical.
Repeater, time out. Repeater, time out. Cancel.
I think it does make sense if it's a gunshot detector. You wouldn't even see the microphone that's on it. And it reports by radio. By the way, you said that this thing is down at the car level. It's not higher up on the utility pole. Go ahead.
No, it's about 7 or 8 feet up on the pole. About 8 feet up. No, it's not in car level. It's about 8 feet off the ground.
The only thing I can think of is a license plate reader, but you would recognize that as a significant camera lens, or a gunshot detector. How big is this black box, though, Barry?
You know, when you see things on poles, the size is deceiving, but I imagine it's round. It's about a foot and a half round, approximately. And it's got something above it, a little black box above it with an antenna. Yeah, it's got a little black box above it with an antenna.
A foot and a half round. How thick is that round part?
It's not pancake flat, but it's definitely not a ball. It comes out. In other words, it sticks out. Concave, convex.
Are we talking
but I'm not sure how much.
Are we talking about a parabolic dish and that's the radome in front of it? You there, Barry? Okay, I'm going to guess that there's a gendarme passing by you and you put the mic down. Into Moonbound, K2LAW.
Okay, my microphone is getting loose, so, and I cannot get under the seat to fix it. So if you lose me, because my mic is coming loose from the radio.
Okay, I'm hearing you now. I haven't heard you for the last 2 minutes. Were you on the air during the last 2 minutes?
As I say, I noticed the radio was coming on. It was coming out of, it was going to receive. So that's my big clue that the microphone is loose. But I really can't get under there. It's way under the seat.
Any possibility that this round thing is a parabolic dish and you're looking at the radome of it in front of the dish, Barry?
Yeah, there's a good possibility of that. But why would there be an antenna on top of it then? I guess, I don't know, yeah, it looks a little bit like a parabolic dish with an antenna on top of it, a little vertical.
Okay, a parabolic microwave link with a whip antenna on the top. It's a frequency translator.
What is it translating for?
What we're really asking is that why is it aiming that microwave signal in whatever direction? Does the microwave signal appear to be coming out of this parabolic dish directly at right angles to the road it's mounted near?
Yes, it does. And I'm trying to think if it's heading towards me or away from me when I'm looking at it. It's on the left-hand side of the street. It's a narrow street. I think it's heading in the direction... No, I can't remember which direction it's heading. I got to think about that.
How many of these... let's call them a dish. How many of these dishes have you seen, Barry? And how recent?
And what they do is they put them up along that side of the road. They could have as many as 5 or 7 of them every 1 or 2 blocks. And then they're gone. And I think I've just one in this area that I can remember.
Repeater, time out.
One in this local area that I could actually remember. There may be other ones, but I don't know about them.
Slim possibility is measuring velocity of vehicles by way of Doppler shift of that microwave signal.
As I say, this is a stupid place for that. It's not a place where people would speed. I don't know. I thought about that. I thought it may have something to do with speed, but why there?
Proximity detector. Is there a vehicle there? Is there an object there? License plate reader. Gunshot detector. What the hell else could it be?
I don't know. I just can't figure out what to spend my money on next.
Slim chance at the microwave link. Any possibility the dishes are all aimed at a common point somewhere in New York City?
They're definitely not. No. They are just aimed down the road. I'm sure of that.
Any chance you can get a photograph of one of these things in the daytime?
Yeah. I'll do that when I get back, and I will mail you the I will email you the photograph.
Fantastic.
Not doing it this morning. Still dark out here. Amazing. I'm definitely up before dawn. When is it going to get light at 5 o'clock? I think not for another 2 months.
Yeah, we're about to go on daylight saving time in the first or second week of March. And that's going to give you extra daylight at night, but less daylight in the morning.
Okay, March, second week of March. Okay, what? They keep making that daylight savings time thing sooner and sooner. I don't believe in daylight savings time, but whatever.
In the summertime, it's kind of nice to come home and have from your job and have light for a couple of hours before you go to sleep.
I don't know. I think it's silly.
Its name is wrong. It doesn't save daylight. You get more daylight at night, but you get less in the morning.
Daylight shift time.
Now you're talking.
This light, I shouldn't have made my left at this light. This light, it never changes. I just stay here. It cycles and cycles and cycles, and it doesn't change. Eventually it does, and I don't know what makes it change, because I can see it go through four cycles, and it doesn't change. Sometimes I get disgusted, and I make a right to go to the next light. It's that bad.
These are crazy dish-like things, Barry. How long ago did you first see them?
About a year and a half ago. They just put them up. I remember when they were installing them.
You saw the guys doing the installation?
I think I might have, yes.
Sure would have been nice to walk over and ask them, what is this? By the way, you could have some lot of fun with them. Are you aiming microwaves at me?
Yeah. All right. This light's still not changing. I'll let you know when the light changes. I'm just going to go straight to the next light. This is ridiculous.
Considering how early you got to get up in the morning, I presume you had to bail out on the TechNet last night. Is that true?
I just went to the next flight. I can't stay there any longer. This is nuts.
Yeah, and around just before midnight last night, we discussed a real good subject as to how we as amateurs can earn a whole lot of money in a hurry, Barry. You missed that.
My God. Yeah. Now, I got up to the, where they yeah, I don't know. I had to leave early. I really did. But, what did they discuss without me, of course?
My guess is you left us around the time that we went over to the space report. Is that true?
It was starting the space report, and I left.
Yeah, one of the interesting things we found in the space report, somebody asked the question, how do the astronauts wash their clothing in space? Guarantee that answer will surprise the hell out of you.
They don't wash their clothing.
Okay. If they don't wash their clothing, then what do they do with the clothing that has been used?
Throw it away.
You got it. It's so difficult to wash in space in weightlessness. They just put on new clothing. I think each astronaut is given two sets of underwear per day.
Okay. All right, Dave. Wait a minute. I've got to get left on Rockland Avenue. Okay. I'm ready to make my left on Rockland Avenue. This light looks a little better. What would happen if you hit their underwear at 25,000 miles an hour?
There's quite a few waste products that are created on the International Space Station. Those Progress ships, they load them up after delivering the payload. They load them up with all of the waste products, and they go back into the atmosphere, and everything burns up, including the spacecraft.
I hope they do. I know. Has anybody estimated how much space junk we have now, which is probably somewhat unaccounted for?
NORAD, North American Air Defense, keeps track of every single metallic object in space that's more than the size of a quarter 20 bolt, if you know what I mean. A quarter 20 nut.
Boy, hitting a quarter 20 nut at 25,000 miles an hour, that's a dead sentence.
I may be wrong on the size of the object, but they're keeping track of all objects. And there's many thousands of them that have to be tracked.
Is there any way that they could recover that stuff, or is it going to be our problem for millenniums?
The ones that are in low Earth orbit, they will all slowly decay. The ones that are in medium and high orbit, they're going to be there for a zillion years.
Yeah. I think future generations are going to be very angry at us, I'm telling you.
Okay, something I got to do, Barry, so I'm going to be leaving you. And I heard the GPS telling you you're about to turn right on Peninsula Boulevard. I guarantee you didn't make that right.
I'm doing it now. It's a good thing I got off of that road. I bet you that light is still red.
Okay, if you're on Peninsula, you better concentrate and stop talking to me. Bye-bye for now.
I have 2.6 miles of Peninsula Boulevard. And it's past an area where there are no lights. As soon as they get on, the road is black. There are no street lights. There are no red lights. Nothing. So I'll be a good little boy, but I think my problem is solved when I get here because there's nothing around me but a little artificial lake. Oh, look at that. The sun's starting to come up. Okay, I'll see you later. K2RW and 2MB. I probably timed out.
No, you didn't. Bye-bye for now.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
K2RTX.
QIVX, K2KNB, good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Rich. I just wanted to thank you for yesterday. It was not as packed as usual, but it was when I was not there, but it was kind of nice, and I instantaneously solved the problem I've been beating my head around. I thought it went well, and I wanted to congratulate you on it. You always do a great job, but I thought, coming back to the club, I thought this was a good way to start. Anyway, I was afraid my day wouldn't go right if I didn't talk to you in the morning. So I started the call, and I said, oh my goodness, I didn't speak to Rich this morning. So this is an official speak to Rich, and have a nice day, and I'm going to head home. K2KNB, K2IVX.
All right, Lane, it was good to see you. Everything we were a little delayed getting open yesterday. That was an omission actually on the part of the Levittown Hall, which was fine. I mean, they're so good to us. So it was just amazing because we didn't really get in there, I think, until 10 to 7. And by, I think, 5 or 10 after 7, everything was set up because everybody was just fantastic. So that was great. And you said you had a problem that was resolved there. What was that?
First of all, you're at K6DPZ. You gave me the wrong phone number, Len.
God. Listen, this guy, you know, really, you know, has to stay off of this repeater. But what was the double problem there, Len?
Well, it wasn't really a problem, but I've been, you know, I'm trying to get myself on a portable station going with a minimum of grief, and I didn't realize how inexpensive those what do they call them? I don't know, those, you know, ham, those, how's it say, those inexpensive single band wound coiled antennas were. Why I can't remember the name right. Not Hustler, but, and it's certainly not screwdriver. Hamstick, maybe. Maybe it's hamstick. Anyway, I was surprised how inexpensive they were, and then they had this mount. This is, KJI had this mount that I had seen in the handbook, and that was relatively inexpensive. So for $50, I got essentially a portable dipole, which is for 40 meters. And all I need is a vertical stick and a way to sit it, and I think I've got my QF antenna. After much about all sorts of different configurations, it just snapped into reality. Over.
Thank you. Yeah, I had bought one a number of years ago. I had a problem with it. I bought a 20-meter, let's go with they were called, Buddy sticks, or I forget exactly. So you buy one connector where you put the two of them together, and you have a 20. Oh, you have a dipole. It could be 20 meters, 30 meters, 10 meters, whatever you happen to buy, whatever you happen to have bought. Or otherwise, you mount it vertically, and that works also. But I had a problem tuning the 20 meters. I was just willing to put up a a single element dipole just to get a better DX situation, but I always had a problem because in tuning it was only like 7 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet up in the air just so that I could tune it, and I just never seemed to get it right. So I might have shorted something out. I'm not sure, but that is a great solution. And then you can buy whatever poles you happen to want. Let's see. Back over to you, Len.
Give me your number. I don't know, there's a station in there that I'm not going to communicate with right now. So, Hotminishkin Chinik, if anybody knows what that means. I've heard they're a little critical to tune, but I'll see if I can work something out. But it's just so clean and so quick, and the connector thing, the joint for the two edges are, it's a good starting point for other antennas, as I'm sure you imagine. They have some large whips out of MJF, MJ, whatever it is. So I think that's probably strong enough to build almost full-length 20-meter things. I guess there may be some support into the center. Anyway, I'm riding home. You can probably hear that as things are breaking up. And I will be home in a couple of minutes. So I'm going to check out with you now. And again, thanks for a great job and for everybody's great job. K2KNB, I have engaged brain before operating mouth. Is that the way it goes? I'll maybe talk to you later on. K2IVX, clear.
All right, very good, Len. It's funny, so now you got my call right, but you forgot your own. Okay, we'll catch you later. K2IVX, K2KNB.
K2IVX.
W2VL repeater system.
That's all right, okay.
Bravo 6 TPC. Call me, Rick.
Victor Mobile. K2QBV Mobile by the George Washington Bridge. Listening. Repeat.
Yeah, good morning, Joel. How are you? Just a reminder that, need to avoid talking to that other person. How are you? You got a good signal from the George Washington Bridge.
One of the few places I can make it from. I haven't found a great spot at the house yesterday or the last few days, even though the tower's all the way up. I mean, I'm on the top of the mountain. Anyway, I'm fine. I'm picking people up. I fired people I've been talking to in Australia for a long time. I've never met them, although I was in the city in Perth. And I invited them to stay with us, with Karen and I, so I'm picking them up in Manhattan right now, all the way down by the Manhattan Bridge. I think they want to go to the Empire State Building and drive around for a few days, so I'm on the way now. K2QBV Mobile.
Yeah, just stand by one, Joe. That's nice that you do that. That's one thing about the ham community. I guess there are others, but, you know, most other hobbies don't have the kind of communication that ham radio operators have, obviously. You're not talking to one another. But that's really nice. I've heard so many stories of particularly hams going to Europe and being invited to stay with hams that they may have spoken to over the air. So it's really nice. So I hope they'll have a great time. I guess you're saying that they haven't been to New York before. The Empire State Building is really nice. And just walking Manhattan, if the weather's pretty cool, take them to Rockefeller Center. You're not that far away. Anyway, I hope you have a great day with that. Back over to you, KTKNB.
Oh, call me when you get a chance.
Hey, KTQBV Mobile, let me make a comment here. I know how you're trying to break in, but it's interfering with my pleasure because when you break in, they turn you off. It turns me off, and I'm taking that more personally. So I want to be on the repeat to talk to people, and you can always call me. But I want to talk on here, and I don't want to be feeling the whole thing is going to be turned off on me. So if you stand by, let me talk to Richie. There's something really good you want to say. You have my cell phone number. But it's not fair that everything be turned off on me. Okay, and Richie, yes, I didn't think of Rockefeller Center, but they did the lower half. They went to Niagara Falls. But I do this a lot. I've been all over the world and stayed with people. It always worked out, especially in Australia. And I've been to Perth last year, or the year before, but I didn't know of them at that point. And that's just about halfway around the world. Go ahead, Richie.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Joel. Now, Joel, I do have to point out, part of the problem that I myself have been admonished for talking to him, because he is in violation of an FCC regulation which he fails to comprehend. And the problem is, and again, I'm telling you honestly, I've been admonished for talking to him, and that's why you won't hear me doing it anymore. You become involved in that because in order to make your case against him, we do have to make tapes. Well, we always make tapes anyway for everybody's protection and for our knowledge, but what happens is people who talk to them are now included in those tapes when they get submitted to the FCC. So it's really just, you really kind of totally have to ignore him. I do remember, and it's really great, and I forget who it was, but guys that I know, you know, have gone to Sweden, have gone to England, have gone to Norway, and been invited into people's homes, because it really is a great community when you get down to it, and it's a worldwide hobby. And regardless of what language you speak, people are always welcome. So that's really great. I'm really glad to hear you doing that. And that is something else that they've already been up to Niagara Falls. But I know one of our guys had a friend come up from Virginia who had never been here before, and I suggested a walking tour of Lower Manhattan, which I think they might have done. You know, you kind of start at Bowling Green and just walk up towards the Empire State Building, and it really is a lot of fun. All right, back over to you, Joel. This is KTQMB.
Okay, KTQB. Well, the first day, he made it in, saw it ready to go, and decided to take a walk over the Manhattan Bridge. That's good. Well, I've done it all around the world. I know one of my first trips to Japan, I've been talking to this JA3CZY in Osaka, and I took the bullet train up. I stayed with him twice on my trip, so that's a lot of fun. He says, you don't know what to expect. The only thing he said, this is the room you stay in, and this is the WC at the bathroom. And I said, please, when you open the door, let it not be a little hole in the ground where where it is in Japan, a lot of places. Your footprints is a hole in the ground, and you open the door, it's a hole in the ground. Boy, they have to struggle. I can't squat like them. I'm not builded like those guys. I don't know if you were. I don't know if anybody is here. But it's just a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen. And I've been doing that for 20 years of all my overseas trips. Okay, let's see. Back to you. I don't know if anybody else wants to come in. I'm just about paying the toll here. Then going down the SDR. No, I'm not. I'm going down the West Side Highway and swinging around. And the tolls are backed up. Okay, back to you, Rich. And I'm about to stop here. The traffic's terrible now. Okay, 2QBV Mobile.
All right, very good, Joel. Yeah, I don't know how I was doing some of those foreign things, but I do know that on Shark Tank, some people came up with this thing called the Squatty Potty to make it, some discussion for the morning, but to make it, easier. And they're doing very well with it. One of the sharks bought it. But they're doing very well with it. No, but again, it's really nice. And walking across the bridge, I believe that when I was up in Niagara Falls many years ago, I believe I walked across that bridge, the one that goes from, I guess it's Niagara, New York, to Niagara Falls, Canada, I think. And I walked across that. But I always thought that would really be, I just never got, it's one of those things you say you would like to do it and then you never do it. But my son, who lives in Midtown Manhattan, at one point was working right over the Brooklyn Bridge. And he would rollerblade, he would skateboard, and he would bicycle to work and cross the bridge. And, oh boy, give him a lot of credit for that. But anyway, that's walking across the Manhattan Bridge, got to be a lot of fun. KTQBV, KTQ.
I've done them both. I found it fun. My wife's a walker and a runner. I can't keep up with her. But we did those. Walked through New York. I used to live in Manhattan, so it was a little easier. But it's fun to do. Always fun to do. So we've been traveling all over the world. And we stayed with somebody in Cape Town. We didn't know what it was. I mean, they knew. Actually, he came to visit me first. And he said, come on down. It's okay. But it's always fun. And they always take care of you. I don't think I have any bad experience with anybody that ever stayed with me. And now we're in a bigger house with extra rooms, so it's fun to have in common. Just don't touch my radio equipment. That's the only rule I have. Don't sneak in the middle of the night because you're in a different time zone to turn on the radio. It has to be done a certain way with this new ICOM and everything. All right, I'll stand by and see if anybody else wants to come in. I thought this was drive time, but it's kind of empty on this machine. K2KNB, K2QBV Mobile at the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, that's interesting. You've been at the George Washington Bridge for a while. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
I'm past the gas station. I'm in the little toll area here. Is there a toll area? Well, whatever it is. Yes, I'm by the toll area here on the right side. And that's, I don't have to pay the toll. It's an easy pass. But that's where I am, so I'll make the repeater from here.
All right, then I got confused, though. Are you on your way down to Manhattan to pick them up, or you've already picked them up? Because I thought you said you were on the West Side Highway.
I'm going to pick them up. They're at a hotel downtown, right by the Manhattan Bridge. Then I have to ask them, and I sent some books on New York City. I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Let's back Niagara Falls. So we spent 2.5 days doing that with them. And now I have to ask him, do you want to see the Empire State Building? And Rockefeller said it'd be one of them, too. I guess they have ice skating there today, which is okay to park. So what's the $50 parking for people that may eventually go back to Persons they stay with? He's an engineer with a big radio station in Perth. And he decided to come here. He's coming here. And he's going, flying down, driving him to the airport. Going down to Florida to see one of my friends, WB2RM, staying with him, getting on a cruise in the Caribbean. I'm going on a cruise for 10 days, and then they go back and fly back to Perth, Australia.
All right, well, that'll keep them busy. I assume that they have been to or want to go over to Ground Zero also and see that. It's also, you know, for someone coming here for the first time, sometimes, as I said, I've suggested a walking tour of Manhattan, but that may be a lot for people. But going down to Wall Street, I'll let them see what Wall Street really, you know, really is, what it really looks like. And New York City Hall is a very interesting building to look at. They used to let you go in, but they don't let you do that anymore. And the Seaboard Museum. But, of course, he probably is familiar with ships. But the Seaboard Museum is also a nice place. And parking is crazy, but, you know, you can get these discount coupons, and at least you save a little bit. Maybe sometimes you get a park all, you know, most of the day, all of the day for, I don't know, $35, $40. But New York City parking is really crazy. And then, I'm not sure, you know, this car that I have now wasn't penalized, but we had a pilot before this, and they would charge us an extra $10 or something because it was a higher car, and it was crazy that they even did that, but that's what they did do. And then I think you said that whatever else you do, you're taking back to your house, so, okay, sounds like a real plan. Or have them walk across the George Washington Bridge, that'd be interesting. KTKNB.
Parking and goes back. He already sat. He was on Wall Street, told me he sat on the bowl, that copper bowl at the end of Wall Street. And he did that. That was his first day here, was it with me. And I don't think there's any other person he knows up here. I'm on every day with these guys from Australia on 40 meters. And he's on that group every morning. Well, when he gets on, his morning, his evening, my morning. And I said, what else did he want to do? I don't think he's going to start walking across bridges again, but he already did that. We'll see. All right, I'll leave you and see who else wants to come in. It should be fun. I always enjoy visits from overseas. I like Perth, because when you're in Australia, which I've been going to for 10, 12 years, it's like the other part of the country is not really the same as the East Coast in Australia. The people are different. They're very slow moving. The traffic lights are 4 minutes each. It's the other side of the world over there from the East Coast. See you later. K2QBV Mobile.
WA6ABC.
What's that, Richard?
Yeah, Mike recognized. I remember either reading something, I think I was reading something a number of years ago about somebody crossing the Outback and what a trip that was and some of the dangers and everything that existed there. Anyway, I think you're signing, Joel, so have a great day, enjoy your company, and we'll catch you later. Mike, go ahead and pick it up, and this is KTKNB.
KQKNB, WA6ABC. Good morning. Hope everything is well for everybody. Looks beautiful out there. I have no idea what the temp is. I've been just doing cat feeding and care. Just making breakfast. Kind of a quiet Monday. Back to you.
Yeah, I was out earlier to take the dog out and get the paper. And it was on the cool side, but not horrible. And I think we're due for some warming up during the course of this day. And I think they said some warm weather coming our way, and we shall see what we shall see. But, yeah, nice quiet Monday.
They make a comment about the Outback.
Yeah, go ahead, Joel.
Done that, okay. There's no really danger. The only danger is because run out of water and nobody will find you. Different ways to cross to Ayers Rock and then from Ayers Rock out to the west. And it's not dangerous, no animals. Well, there are a few, but nothing that'll bother you. It's just that it's so desolate. There's some of the roads, a lot of the roads are not paved, they're all dirt. You can't start wandering off. And there were a couple gas stations. There were squirrels, rabbit slats, and they closed. If you're stuck, you better take a shortwave radio, which I did. And if you're really sick, they'll send in the flying doctor service. But it's an exciting trip, and you cannot go with one car. You should have two SUVs, because one car usually breaks on that road, and you got to get out of there. So that's a trick to it. Not dangerous, exciting, and you have to be really careful, Rich.
Let me just pick it up, and then I'll pass it back to you, Mike. But when I said dangerous in terms of if you're actually in walking, just not driving through, kind of like driving through the desert anywhere, I guess, in the United States. But I think Australia has 9 out of the 10 most poisonous snakes in the in the world, something like that, including the brown snake and a couple of others. And then, of course, I don't know which direction, I guess it's Darwin, in which you start to hit the crocodile territories and things, but I don't know if that's part of the Outback or whether that's the end of the Outback. But mostly it's the idea that you have, again, I think it's 9 out of the 10 most dangerous snakes there. Mike, go ahead and pick it up. This is KTKNB.
K2KNB, WA6ABC for IQ. Yeah, very good. I talked to quite a few people in Australia. Off regularly on Echolink. There's some nets and things that they participate in, and there's actually one repeater I really like. The other gentleman has a smartphone. I can give you the link for that. They're real nice. Even if their toilets do flush the other way. Hi. Spent a bit of the weekend working on technical things. I have gone away from taking email on my server just because the server always gets invaded by, or tried to get invaded by people. So I've actually gone to Gmail, and I never took the time to customize Gmail with a regular email address. It takes some doing. You have to use your SMTP server. Not sure if you've tried to do this, and also not sure if the other gentleman has gotten to his destination, if it was just a comment or he wants to stay in the in the loop. So I'll send it back to KTKNB and you send it back to him if you want. From WA6ABC.
WA6ABC.
Yeah, I think that Joel is busy driving, so I think he's signed out. On this side also, I have a bit of work to do here. And I think my wife hooked up with one of the vets locally that works with you when you have feral cats. So I don't know if we're taking a cruise ride. It's funny, she says, all right, so we'll catch the cat on Monday. I said, well, no, you're only going to catch the cat when the cat decides it wants to be caught. But we did get at least one trap for cats. And we'll catch her and have them take a look at her leg there and figure out what to do with her. But it is it's crazy stuff. Anyway, let me sign Mike and get back to some work here, and we'll talk to you later. This is KTKMB, 73 Mike.
Still here. Still trying to pay the toll. I'll be here. My name is Joel.
Joel. Yeah, if you need any tips, I actually have a couple things that have really helped me with those traps. There's just little things that you can do to make the trap a lot more attractive to a cat. It's probably a have a heart trap, and I've had a lot of experience with those. So, all right, folks, wishing everybody a good day, and go back to making breakfast, etc. K2KMB and Joel, WHC ABC, I'll be clear.
Okay, we'll see you later. And Rich, are you gone? Yes, you got me in my Australian mode, Rich, but you're gone. All right, King 2 Queen, Baker, Victor Mobile. Paying the toll at the George Washington Bridge. Kilowatt 2 Queen, Baker, Victor Mobile. At the George Washington Bridge. Let me repeat.
WBQTS. Yes.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I wasn't sure if Joel might come back to want to keep you company. Anyway, how you doing? Good seeing you yesterday.
Okay, it's QBZ Mobile.
Hey, good morning, Richie. Hey, good morning, Joe. Joe's always here, but he's on the road. And in range. Good morning to both of you.
The post.
I'm not sure if Joel was waking up. Hey, Joel, yeah, you were kind of waking up there, Joel, so I wasn't sure if you were passing the building or the bridge or whatever. But anyway, I tried to give it a try.
Can't be broken up. I'm on by the bridge.
You might not have held the push to talk down strongly enough or something. No, you did break up, but not a problem. Steve?
Yeah. Good morning, Joel. I take it you're heading into Manhattan.
Correct. I'm taking it into Manhattan. I'm going to the Manhattan Bridge, but not jumping off.
Yeah, probably don't hang any signs off of it either, you know. Going up there and hanging those big, big signs is not a good thing.
I'm going to leave you two guys to talk for a bit while I try to finish up some work. KTKMB, Joel, over to you.
Hey, Steve, when are you going to come past my house? You're always up in the, not always, but you're up in the area sometimes.
Yeah, I got a feeling that that particular customer is out of warranty and has stopped calling now. that's what I went up for, up in Orange County. I've done that for, I guess, about a year, and I haven't heard anything lately.
Well, I'm at exit 13. 13 of the Palisades Parkway, near the top of Cheesecot Mountain. And as you go a little past the exit, I'm saying